Do you hear that? God says, don't let me have to put a bit and bridle into your mouth. So I have to pull you to get you to move anyway. And you're always just kind of like this mule. And God's, come on. No. I want you to do this. Why? He's pulling on us like this.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. We're going to honor the mothers in our listening audience. Pastor Wayne gave a Mother's Day message that I know will be an encouragement to you. Here he is with a message entitled, Whatever Happened to the Old Values?
Would you take out your notes on this Mother's Day as we talk about the gifts that God has given to us? Moms are really a special breed, aren't they? They're almost like gifts that are guardians of timeless truths. In a world that seems to be bouncing off the walls and bouncing off the ceilings, and everything just seems to be in a flux and relative, and the absolutes of the world are beginning to vaporize. It's like moms come in like lighthouses on a stormy night, and they say, this is the way. This is the way. They're timeless truths, almost guardians, sentinels of timeless truth. They're a special breed, and especially veteran moms. You know what I mean by veteran moms? You can tell, you can walk in a mall and you can see novice moms. You know, children. Veteran mom, whap, get in line. So, oh, there's a veteran mom. Isn't that right? You can see novice mom, intermediate mom, veteran mom. And I was reading something that gave some characteristics of these veteran moms, and here's just four of them. It says, here's, you know she's a veteran mom when her kid swallows a quarter and she says, that'll be deducted from your allowance. It'll pass. This'll pass. You know she's a veteran mom when her kids throw up and she catches it. You know she's a veteran mom when someone else's kid throws up at a party and she just keeps right on eating. Doesn't bother. Isn't that right? You know she's a veteran mom when she uses her saliva to clean her kid's face. That's a veteran mom. And you know, we have them all around. They're wonderful just to be people who will mentor the novice moms coming up. And it's like God places them right in our midst. But you know, moms are always teaching. They're forever teaching, forever instructing. And I was reading a few sound bites of what if, like Mona Lisa, you know Mona Lisa, that picture? What if Mona Lisa's mom could speak? You know, I think she would say this because they're always instructing. Here's Mona Lisa's mom upon seeing the finished portrait of her daughter. What would she say? Mona, after all the money we spent on your braces, is that the biggest smile you can give us? Here's Humpty Dumpty's mom in the emergency room, you know, when he crashed. Here she is. Hump. How many times have I told you, don't sit on the wall? If I told you once, I've told you 100 times. But would you listen? No. So, good for you. Here's Michelangelo's mom, upon seeing the finished product of the Sistine Chapel when he painted the ceiling. Here she comes in. Mickey, can't you just color on the walls like other normal children do? Do you have any idea how hard it will be for me to get that stuff off the ceiling? And this one's great. Albert Einstein's mother. Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about that hair? Moms. I remember my mom. She was all but 4'9½" tall. Japanese. Second generation from Japan, Michie Takasaki was her name. And she was a single mom, and my parents got a divorce when I was about 5 years old, so she raised the four of us in Palolo Valley. She's a single mom. She worked as a waitress in the Flamingo restaurant. And I remember when she would spank me, she would spank me with a rice paddle straight out of the rice pot with rice still globbed on the thing. And she'd just whip it right on, come here. And I won't tell you what she said right after that, but come here, you. And I prided myself because I could outrun her. So I would jump off the table and just take off. Now, I was known because I was kolohe and I ran fast. but she had the brains in the family. So she knew the common path that I'd always take. I'd run around the house a certain corner. So she'd just go the other way and wait by the corner like this. And as soon as I'd come around the corner, she'd just start beating on me. And I know how I get some of my musical talent and ability, whatever I have, even though it's small, because my mother, when she'd spank me in rhythm. How many times I tell you, no, do that, more times, that's it. Some of you do the same thing. Next day in class, my friends would always tease me, you know, hey, Wayne, your mother gave you licking again, didn't she? No. How you tell? There's rice all over your pants. But I still remember her instructions. She'd always be teaching me to do things right. My neighbor would give something to me and I'd take it and start running off to show my friend. She'd grab me by the hair and pull me back. You tell Mr. Sato thank you. Tell him thank you, thank you, tell him thank you. Thank you, all right. And then I would remember, don't run through Mr. Chalk's yard. Paquets are mean. And over the years, I found how true that is. But you know what she was basically telling me, that there are, you know, there's truths. In fact, would you write this down? Moms will always tell us this basically, and that is this. You know, the greatest truths are timeless, aren't they? The greatest truths are timeless. And that's what the Bible says. Because you see, moms don't often have newfangled truths. It's not new philosophies that you learn from philosophy class at a college somewhere or university. Mom's truths are truths that are well-worn, but are timeless. Let's read what it says at the top about the kingdom of God. Ready? Go. And he said to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and... Yeah, you know what the kingdom of God is made up of? Not just new things that I haven't learned yet, but old things that I've already learned, and now when I apply, they become new again. The kingdom of God is made up of those, not just new and old. Someone wrote a little thing about all that he learned about life, he learned in kindergarten. And what he was saying basically is the greatest truths are timeless truths. They're old but timeless. And he writes these, and let me give you eight of them. He says, these are the things I learned in kindergarten, and they're applicable yet today. Here they are. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say that you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Here's one my wife always reminds me. Flush the toilet. And here's our most favorite one. And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Isn't that good? See, the greatest truths are timeless. And that's why God's word is so special to us here at New Hope. Because in it contains timeless truths. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 40 and verse 8, which says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. Other things come and go, but the word of our God contains timeless truths. They're timeless and they're true. And it doesn't matter how archaic we think it might be, in the end, it will bear out as truth. And it's that kind of truth that will calibrate your life, calibrate your compass. And as moms who would be guardians and sentinels of timeless truths, when they see their children beginning to set their compass and lives and decisions and futures by timeless truths as found in the word, there's no greater joy. In fact, let's read what 3 John says about that. Ready? Go. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Isn't that true? I have spoken to parents near and far, And I hear him always saying the same thing. I'd give up everything to have my children walking in the truth. There's no greater joy. And of all the things that they're sharing, especially moms who are guardians of timeless truths and will share it again and again, basically all of that boils down to this. When she says, tell Mr. Sato, thank you. Don't do this, change this. You know what she's saying? Number one, would you write in your notes, here's a treasure of old treasure that the kingdom of God is made of. Here's one of the timeless truths. What she's saying in all of this is this. Here it is. Do life correctly. Do life correctly. Isn't it true you can do life incorrectly? Sure. Destroy relationships, disrespect people by the way you communicate, by the way we sit, the way we look at one another, whatever it might be, what we're communicating. You can do life incorrectly. You can do life correctly. And what it's saying here is do life correctly. You know, do I do it all the time? No, but keep ordering your life according to timeless truths. Let's read what Psalm 50 says. Ready? Go. To him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. The word salvation in the New Testament is a Greek word sozo, which means fulfillment or wholeness. And you know what God is saying? When you're constantly ordering your way aright or learning to do life correctly, according to the instruction, the timeless truths of God's word, I will reveal to you what wholeness really is. You'll find that there's a wholeness coming to your life. There's a wholeness in your family. There's a wholeness in the way you think. And you sit back sometime and you say, wow, I'm so glad I get to serve God like this. I'm so glad I'm trying to order my life day by day to do life correctly. And we see the fallout of so many that have chosen not to. And we see that all the time, like at Christmas. When, you know, I remember at Christmas time, we had purchased for Amy, when she was about 3, a big old honking dollhouse. And so my wife made me get up early on Sunday morning when we were living in Oregon so that I could put it together before Amy would get up. So I got up and I looked at this instruction sheet, you know how that folds out and there's Spanish and Greek and French and then you have to look for English. Oh, there it is. And so I look at it and I think, do they think I'm stupid? It's a dollhouse. And I start putting this thing together. I worked on it for 2.5 hours. And when I was done, it looked sort of like a homeless shelter rather than a dollhouse. And I had enough parts left over to make a whole nother dollhouse. It was horrible. And you know, I wonder how many times we do that with life. We try to put life together without figuring we need to follow any directions, any instructions, and we take shortcuts. And our relationships look like they do. We think, oh man, what happened? God, how come you let this happen? The Lord said, I gave you the instructions. Do life correctly, because you can do it incorrectly too. And after this life, folks, listen, there's no do-overs. But I'm going to give you everything you need to do life correctly. It's so easy to circumnavigate God's instructions. But I'm reminded of, if you go up the Diamond Head, at the crest of Diamond Head, which treats you to a beautiful view from Cocoa Head all the way sweeping through Waikiki Beach, a gorgeous, beautiful, scenic look. But there's a sign on that pathway that should be hanging in every home and in every church. It says this, stay on the path, take no shortcuts, it causes erosion. Stay on the path, take no shortcuts, it causes erosion. And I thought, how true that is, more than we'll ever know. You see, God is saying, live life according to my ordinances. And we see the breach of that replete in the Old Testament and New Testament when people have tried to take shortcuts. If you've been reading along with us in the devotions and journaling, you will have come through a time just recently when David took the ark back from the Philistines. Now, he knows, and so does all of the different Levites, that you don't take the ark and carry it any other way except on the shoulders of the Levites through poles. And they carry the ark, which is a big box that represents the presence of God. And no layman was to touch it or look into it. It was just to be respected. Well, instead of calling the Levites together, we don't know whether they were busy, it was last minute, but they put the ark on an ox cart drawn by oxen, and they're taking it back from the Philistines, and the oxen stumble, which causes the cart to tip, and Uzzah reaches out to stop it. It's not the other Levite, this is the Uzzah one. And you better give me more jokes, that's your fault. So the Uzzah one put up his hands like that to stop the ark. And the Bible says God struck him dead. Now at that point, David got angry and said, he was just trying to help God. How come you did that? But later on in the book of 1 Chronicles, David reminisces about this. And let's read what he says in 1 Chronicles 15. Ready? Go. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Yeah. God is saying, there's a way I want you to do life. And you can't compromise. You can't shortcut and think that there are no consequences. Do life correctly. And even in the areas of relationships, boys and girls, dating, courtship, do it right. Court correctly. Yeah, but everybody's doing it this way. Everybody's doing it that way. It doesn't matter. Do it correctly. Do life right. Yeah, but it's so archaic. No, it's a timeless truth. There's something very different between something being old-fashioned and something being timeless. God's word is timeless. And the greatest truths are timeless. Do life correctly. That happened in the Old Testament when Absalom, who was David's son, had a sister. I guess she was quite a good-looking honey, because this guy named Amnon just has the hotsy-trotsies for her. And so he wants to get her, but he's so unbridled in his desire, his sexual desire and lust, he feigns this sickness. Oh, I'm sick. And he says to somebody, get Tamar, that was her name, the Absalom's sister, get Tamar to come and cook me some dinner before I die. So, well, what do you want her to cook? Oh, Portuguese bean soup. So she comes and she says, okay, I guess, you know, and she's cooking up this Portuguese bean soup. And all of a sudden, he grabs her and tries to force himself upon her. And she stops him and says, if you do this, if it's a rape, then how will I bear this reproach? Because this is not done in Israel. And listen to what she says. She's trying to reason with him. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Tamar said, as for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not listen to her. You know what she's saying? Just ask my dad. Do it right. Ask him for my hand in marriage. He won't withhold me and from you, and then we can do it right. Do it right. But he said, no, I'd rather do it this way. And if you read with me through that, you'll find that right after he takes advantage of her, his love turns to hate, and he says, get out of here. And I wonder how many times we see that compromise where I want intimacy before I have commitment built. Before the construction of commitment within a man or a woman, we jump into intimacy. And so then we go into a relationship without the foundations of commitment, and it'll only come crashing down. So God is saying, do life correctly. If you're going to court a woman, court her correctly. If you're going to be with a guy, court him correctly. Do it right. Just do life correctly and ask the king how to do it right, and God will show you. And that's why moms and dads will be so important in our lives. If you're courting, learn to respect the one of the opposite sex. And if the parents put a curfew on you, don't fight against it. Honor that. Honor. In fact, that's what number two, the timeless truth number two is. Would you write down? Honor those whom God has placed in your life. Honor those. He's saying one of the most important timeless truths will be to honor those whom I've placed in your life as parents. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You see, God is saying, especially for those who are Christian parents, honor, obey them, because this is right. You say, well, what if I don't have Christian parents? He says, then honor them. Honor them. Well, what does that mean? It means try to understand where they're coming from. Now, there will come a time in your life where you'll have to be accountable for your own decisions. You'll come to a point of maturity and adulthood where you have to answer to God individually. So there may be times you may not agree with your parents if they're not necessarily Christians or they don't know God's timeless truths, but still honor them by listening to them, understanding them, and saying, Dad, thanks, Mom, thanks. I'm going to factor into my decision-making what you said because I honor you. But it doesn't mean that you roll over and play dead and just say, well, whatever, and mail your brain out in a paper sack and just say, well, whatever they said, I do. No, no. You will be held accountable by God to make your decisions based on what you're hearing God tell you. Because you can't stand before God one day and say, well, God, I would have, but my friend said, oh, God said, no. I spoke to you. Same way, well, my parents said or this said. No. In fact, God says it this way. Anyone who loves their mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. What is he saying? There'll be a time when you come to an age of accountability where you will need to be answerable directly to God for the decisions you make. You can blame nobody else and lean on nobody else. Nobody else. But what does it mean then to honor your parents? When they speak, try to understand what they're saying. Factor it into your decision making and be respectful and cordial to them. Honor them. And God is saying, when you do that, it'll go well with you. It'll go well with you. Same thing is true with my kids. I want them to listen to my advice, understand where I'm coming from, and factor it into their decision making. But I know that in the end, they're responsible for the decision that they make, and I want them to make their own decision. But I want them to give me respect so that my advice and counsel sits pretty strongly and firmly before any other voices, that they factor that in. And that honors me. It does not honor me when they mail their brains out and just do, well, whatever, Dad said this. No. Dad, thanks. And if it's wise, they do it. And if it's something that may not fit for them, it's okay. But you make your own decision in the end. But it honors a parent. And then you say, well, how do we get all of this kind of help? Because we need advice. We need to learn all of these things. Because we need advice. We need instruction. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the third timeless truth that God wants us to factor into our lives. And would you write number three? Seek to be instructed. Seek to be instructed. What does that mean? It means it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 80 years old, but as soon as you stop learning, you stop living. You see, because life is made out of the stuff of that life is made out of is what I'm currently learning. If I stop learning, there's no raw material for vibrant life to take place. I just rehash the old again and again and tell everybody what I did when I was back then in my heyday. No, what are you currently learning? That's the stuff that makes life vibrant today. So keep learning and don't make it where God has to pull and cajole and give consequences before we learn. Seek learning. That keeps a growth tip fresh and raw in your life because that's where life begins to sprout from. Let's read what it says here. Ready? Go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Did you hear that? God says, don't let me have to put a bit and bridle into your mouth. So I have to pull you to get you to move anyway, to move in this direction or that direction. And you're always just kind of like this mule. And God says, come on. No. I want you to do this. Why? He's pulling on us like this. Young women. There's veteran moms here. There's grandmothers. There are veteran wives. And if we'll just tap into each other, just think what a wonderful place this will become. And there'll be wholeness here because we asked, we sought, and we knocked.
You've been listening to a message entitled Whatever Happened to the Old Values by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, and we want to wish all of our mothers a wonderful Mother's Day. And to everyone, till next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.